Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumabrit Midi, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, overcoming Indigenous disadvantage 2020, the report shows mixed outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the Productivity Commissioner from Productivity Commission, Romney Mokak, on the line. Romney, very good morning. How are you?
Very good, Trev, and thanks for the invitation to have a yarn today.
Thank you, brother, for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yes, I'm Jugan Yarrow, so my mob are from Broome, Rubibi, West Kimberley, born and raised on Larrakia country, Darwin, Northern Territory.
Fantastic, brother. So how long have you been in your position there?
About 20 months now, a bit over a year and a half.
Okay.
The creation of this position, first Indigenous Commissioner at the Productivity Commission. And for listeners who may not be aware, the Productivity Commission is largely focused on social and economic impacts, and you can see why it's important to have one of our mob in the commission.
Of course. Well, nothing beats black on black, my brother, so great to have you in that role. And now OID, Overcoming Indigenous Disadvantage 2020, we are still behind the eight ball and the gap is still there, yes?
Well, there are gaps in a number of areas, but what this report does, the Overcoming Indigenous Disadvantage report, this is the eighth edition, over a 20-year period, it provides a comprehensive, up-to-date report on the well-being of our mob, and it provides accountability and transparency in how governments are tracking over that period of time. So some areas have been improving, others are more worrying because there hasn't been improvement.
So with this report, it's more meat on the bone regarding the discussion taken to the table for government and to act upon?
Yeah, well, this report, goes beyond just talking about the data. While data, metrics, measurements are really important, particularly to understand how we're tracking.
Yes.
What this report this time around really draws out is the importance of governments and Aboriginal people, Torres Strait Islander people, being at the table, sharing that decision making. So there are 10 examples or case studies, if you like, of where that shared decision making by governments with Aboriginal people is taking place across the country.
Also, and what about the children, infants, in regarding birth and death rates?
Well, Trev, that's really important that you highlight that. There are areas of improvement. So in the early childhood development area, for example, we've seen improvement over 20 years. Infant mortality, so these are our young ones dying early, has decreased by 60%, quite significant. The access that mums and their partners are having in antenatal care, so while mum's pregnant, and the outcomes in pregnancy have improved. And a lot of this goes to, the sort of things that our mob have really prioritised, like, smoking cessation, quitting smoking programs. So these are areas of improvement. Other areas in education, preschool, many more children at preschool and ready to go to school when they start school. So they talk about developmentally on track, so they're ready to go to school. More completions in year 12 and more of our mob seeking further qualifications after year 12. So these are all really positive aspects to really focus
on. And we'll take our wins, Romley, for sure, yes.
Absolutely. Look, we've got to do that, and we've got to recognise that a lot of this stuff is driven by our people themselves, but we also need to really tackle these systems barriers that get in the way of our people as well.
And so with the report, when is the turnaround regarding the conversation with government? Here's the report, and what's the turnaround time on that? And do you see, more action from the government?
Well, this report's really timely, Trev, in the sense that we've now got a new national agreement on closing the gap.
Yep.
For the first time, that agreement was negotiated with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people through the Coalition of Peaks, that group of peak organisations negotiating with all governments, all Australian governments. And so the timing of this report is really important because it speaks to how we're tracking.
Yep.
And it aligns directly to the sorts of commitments that have been made in the agreement. One of them that I would emphasise is that point about decision-making. So the agreement quite specifically says that governments will need to work with Aboriginal people in a shared decision-making framework. And so this report should be read by not only our mob, because this is at the heart of the stuff that matters to us, not just us here and now, but what does it look like in the future for our kids, but our grandkids and their grandkids. It's a really important, but also policy makers and those who are in decision-making roles that advise governments are really critical to get across these key points of sharing decision-making, which means sharing power, and the strengths of our mob. Again, not just viewing our people as data or statistics.
Exactly.
Largely through that deficit lens, looking at our mob through the deficit, but making sure that the things that strengthen us are recognised and built upon.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your yarn, Romley. I think it's a very important discussion. Time is everything in life, and like you said, time is very important for this report to be across the table and the government to take on board and act on it. Listen, all the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, Romley.
Thanks, anytime. Trev, always happy to yarn up to with your mob at BBM and the listeners more widely.
To Adeli, brother. You take care. All the best.
Okay, cheers.
Adeli Yarn there with Romley Mokak. He's a commissioner with the Productivity Commission and talking about the OID, Overcoming Indigenous Disadvantage 2020, and the report has shown mixed outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. A lot of work needs to be done, but it's a powerful tool in regarding discussion and for government to act. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumma Bit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the National News Radio Service. 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly, mob.
Solid rock, standing on sacred ground. searching for a heart of a light. This could be paradise. Standing on solid rock, standing on sacred ground, living on borrowed time, and the winds of change going cold that night. Just if I, there's all that history, hear that cry. It's hard enough just to survive. Hills are crying, no more lying.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
What's good? Shout out to the homie DJ Darren on this one. Had to get Naka, Jagger RZA. Let's go. Good right now. Tillers, First Nations, let's go. Can never claim to keep a gangster, no need to prove it. Every minute, every second of the way needs a movement. We solid, we do it, we did it, we go. So fresh, I think the English is my second language. But no, I'm certain for them land rights, power to the people. Shoot, that go in a winner, so remain equal. Ha, and they ain't gotta kill my vibe. But real, recognize real when the truth cries. Hey. One for them land rights, two, make him vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor. One for them land rights, two, make him vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor.
I leg out.
Resume, ticking off the meter, straight to the dance floor, Shauka Siva. They realize that we're vibing with indigo, capitalize, so now we're hitting the centerfold. Anecdote, visualize I'm making him panico. Bucket up a last ride, wrap it again and go. Sicky, yeah, let's make him wilder with that poly good shoulder shrug, test my style.
Love.
One fella one time walk about to the seaside when the sun set. So the brothers on the other side like a beach fire, they must shake a leg. They call him boy run, run over here young fella. Too young, too much worry young fella. Don't need to shake and bring another brother. Let mama nature take your problem.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your sober calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we all know the deadly duo, Busby Maru. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Tom Busby and talk about their tour, Back on the Tools, and they're going to be performing here in Cairns on Friday 11, Saturday 12 at the Tanks Arts Centre. On the line, Tom, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. Yeah, I'm great, mate. I'm really excited this weekend. Can't wait.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. Looking forward to seeing you guys. So give us a bit of background about Back on the Tools, the tour.
Well, I mean, last time we were up that way, everything was pretty normal in the world, actually.
We were all big shows,
everyone was happy, we were partying, and then a couple of weeks after we left Cairns and did our last town show in Townsville, we went down south to finish off our big national tour at the start of the year, and just like every other band that was on tour, it ended quick smart. We came back home and... We were that blasé about COVID-19, but our gear was still in New South Wales.
Yes.
We flew back to wash our clothes and see our family, and we were about to fly back for the last two shows of the tour, and we couldn't even get back. It was that quick, shut up. And to be honest, we probably needed a break anyway, Jeremy and I. We hadn't, probably spent enough time with our family, and we've been on the road for 15 years non-stop, so in hindsight we needed a break, but at the time the whole calendar was just deleted.
For so many across the globe, and look, it is what it is, but an angel in disguise in regard to being having time with family. I think that was good, as you mentioned.
Mate, exactly, and Jeremy and I, I've got to say, we're a lot more fortunate than a lot of other... And a lot of people out there, and particularly a lot of bands I'm referring to, and there's some bands out there that had been working on albums for 2 years and then just put all their money, their time effort into it, and then released it with the big ambition of touring and getting it out there, and then it shut up shop. So I really feel bad and sorry for those bands, particularly the younger bands, or bands that
up and coming
haven't got that profile yet. So in hindsight, we're very lucky. We got to hang out with their families. As Jeremy said, he got to reintroduce himself to his teenagers, and I got back into being, I put my money where my mouth was, and I said to my wife, that's beautiful, I'll be a stay-at-home dad.
Yep.
I'll be a stay-at-home dad, my wife.
Pick me.
The first couple of months, I loved it, and then I've got to say, I was defeated 3-4 months in. I'm still hanging in.
Good man. Good man.
till the end of the year. But yeah, look, there was times like everyone, things were getting a bit frustrated, a bit of cabin fever, and didn't think we'd ever be back on the road, and maybe till next year, the year after, no one knew. And when they put it to us if we wanted to do a kind of smaller run of shows, and we made a laughing joke saying, well, that'd be pretty cool to be back on the tours.
Like to see that trick, but the doors have opened up, the borders have opened up, and green light before Christmas.
Oh, absolutely. So, been beautiful, and these are our last shows of the tour, and I've got to say, even though it's a very different time, a lot of fans and punters didn't know quite what to expect, and even those first couple of shows, we didn't really know, but as the tour went on, it was just unreal. People had a lot of respect for the venues that were actually having the guts to put on shows.
Yes. By the rules.
Everyone has been respectful. Everyone's been, you know, everyone understands. No one's complaining. There's no one complaining.
Exactly. And it is what it is, sort of thing, you know. Yep. And we're all in this together, eh?
In it together, mate. We're all in it together. And famous Ben Lee song. So, yeah.
So, Too Deadly, Busby Maru. So, how long have you guys been a duo together, and when did it all start out, my friend?
Well, mate, I reckon it's been almost 20 years now. It seems like a long time ago. Back in Rockhampton, we started, and just young kids, probably even more, actually. We're, teenagers, and then we started.
Would you guys go to school together, played football together? Share the same garden? What? Talk to us.
Well, we didn't know each other, actually. I was a couple of years older than Jeremy, but he was mates with a couple of my younger mates, and I'd come home. I went to uni in Brisbane. I'd come home to Rocky on the uni holidays, and Jeremy was playing in this band, and one of my mates was singing, and I always thought, God, I'd love to have Jeremy playing guitar beside me.
Yeah.
He's a riffer on that guitar.
He'd make the guitar talk, doesn't he?
You know, as the years kind of went on, I kept coming back, and he was sort of bandless, and I was looking for someone, and I came back to stay in Rocky for a year and said, hey, let's write some songs. And, it took off from there. So we had other ambitions and other aspirations in our life, and we were working at those, but music took over, and we're so glad it did because it's given us a really amazing life.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the name, Buzz Maru. Did you come up with the surname straight away as the name of the duo, or how'd that come about?
No, it was funny. We were trying to find a really trendy name. And
trendy.
I remember even Googling something related to Torres Strait Islander and Whitefella, and we couldn't find anything. Everything just seemed real weird and a bit cheesy. And then how it happened is, obviously my name's Thomas, his name's Jeremy, but my old man, who has no shame, would drive down to the shop, pick up some milk, you know, in his pyjamas, and we'd be singing at the pub trying to charm the girls, and he'd just pull up on the side of the road, he'd roam in front of the pub in his pyjamas and yell out, Tom and Jerry, Tom and Jerry. And we weren't having that, but it started...
Real funny, Dad.
I was not funny, you know, we were young 18-year-olds, just like, beat it.
Yep.
And, yeah, so they started writing Tom and Jerry up on the chalkboard, and we gave up trying to find a name, so we said, well, let's just change it to Busby Maru for now. And
and stuck.
You know, and it's genuine, so we're happy with it.
Fantastic, brother. Fantastic. So, look, it's great to have you on the airways, brother. We'll be yarning with you when you come to Cairns, and looking forward to seeing you at the concert there at the Tanks, Tanks Arts Centre here in Cairns, Friday 11 and Saturday 12, brother.
Oh, we can't wait. Can't wait. Favourite place. One of the favourite places in the world. And Jeremy's really excited to get up there and see some of his family. And, yeah,
for sure.
Let her hair down.
All the best, Tom. We'll talk soon, my brother. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there with Tom Busby from Busby Maru. And a deadly duo started about 20-odd years ago, and two high school friends there from Rockhampton. And look, they've kicked so many goals and won so many awards, and they're performing here in Cairns at Tanks Arts Centre, Friday 11, Saturday 12. And the tour is Back on the Tools is the name of the tour. And they were going through that and doing the tour when COVID-19 put a spin on things, and they're just finishing off the tail end of it just before Christmas. So Too Deadly, mob, you're not doing nothing, get on down and check it out. Stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Ball on Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from McCurry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bunbury Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
saving for tomorrow. There's something out there you will see. Chase it down, don't let it go.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
It's the Dia Double Cooker, they're the Y coming at ya. Got the whole crew here ready to attack ya. With the beats and the rhythm on the scratcher. Showing you that I'm the bomb ass rapper. When I wanna be, I can be dangerous. Soon I'm gonna be the world's most greatest. I'm up to date with the World War latest. I chuck on my favorite playlist. When I dance, got moves like Matrix. Moves that are fresh and moves that are ancient. Battling the war with friends and relations. But now I'm clearing the page.
Yeah, I will. Sneakity coming and speaking the realest. I'm one of the illest of villains. I'm running with killers, visible criminals, banging the visual. Haters are looking for miracles, looking hysterical. Haters are yapping, spreading the clapping, tell them what happened. When you get that money, stacking, rapping, holding the rap game captive. Physically massive, laughing, criminally acting, bastards, whoa. Still thinking of selling, no telling you're dealing with felons, no acting. You seen it, I'm in it to win it, a drill, I'm a killer, I'm made up of calm, mama, I'm driven by the dangerous product.
But that's who I am, where I am today, standing strong.
Struggle. The black youth hurry up to and join the huddle. We're proving truth to societies and trying to rubble. Minds feed the slaughter, double lies, beat deceit, defeat the best man humble. Keep your spirit to land, although your sneaks on the street. I still realize your people still ain't squashing, better keep the skin deep. But I'm betting that they just feel threatened. From the Twin City, the wall of me, get a made. Black rapping,
Western R&D, top double cherry bar. Put it all together, straight up black for life. I rock colors in black and white. Recite ancient stories from deep time. When I fly on the mic, let me take you back to the mission. So listen, we fighting for existence, resistant for instant. My thoughts fire like a piston. You're not with my brothers and sisters. Can you feel the question and the message represent? That's who I am. Rapping the NT streets, down the VIC. Rapping and rapidly attacking all the hip-hop beats. See what happens when you see indigenous MCs. Rock across the nation, hoping to get overseas. Cause it's more than just a dream, plus we do this for our people. Defeat for all the evil that we see every day. Hoping that the sun shines so we can see better days. Who's that there? Aboriginal, cool like air. On the microphone, fly like a spear. With them flows, sounds smooth, sounds slick. Out the stereo, I'm a gun, baby. I hold it down like a boss to represent, baby. To a number one, you money, you ladies. You fans, you love and you use. Hate me, it's D-Boy, baby.
But that's who I am.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning. Welcome back to your daily program, you mob, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. RNS, surging homelessness demonstrates need for urgent social housing investment. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Kate Colvin, spokesperson for the Everybody's Home campaign, is the campaign. On the line, Kate, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners. I'm great, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. Surging homelessness demonstrates need for urgent social housing investment. Let's talk about the campaign, Everybody's Home campaign, and how it all started and where we are with it, please.
Look, Everybody's Home was a campaign that started in 2018 because for years and years the federal government hasn't invested enough in social housing and Indigenous housing. And what that means is that there's so many more people facing homelessness, living in rent stress, really struggling in the rental market. So this is about community organisations working together and getting the public on board so that we can really put pressure on the federal government to deliver the investment that's needed so that every Australian can have a home.
Well, exactly. And we're talking about necessities of life, aren't we?
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, a home is the heart of everything. You can't raise your family, you can't work in a job, you can't, you know, your kids can't go to education properly. If you don't have a home, all of those things become impossible. People's health suffers. Look, it's a disaster when people don't have a home. They just can't, you know, live a good, ordinary life.
And do we know the figures in regard to homelessness in the country?
Across Australia, 116,000 people are homeless on any given night. Unfortunately, it's 23,000, so 22% of those are Aboriginal. So really yes. High overrepresentation of Aboriginal community members amongst those who are homeless, which is really shocking.
Exactly. And also what comes to mind is the people who are not in those numbers are three or four families sharing one house.
Look, actually, those numbers do include severe overcrowding. So, a lot of Aboriginal people who are counted as homeless are living in severely crowded homes.
Yes.
And it's counted as homeless because it is having a home is not just about having a roof over your head. It's about having space for an ordinary life. And so the ABS actually does count if people don't have, if they need more than four bedrooms in their home to kind of meet basic standards, then it is counted as homelessness.
Yeah, for sure. So what is the government, in regard to the Everybody's Home campaign, it's a tool that we're putting up forward for the government to see?
I don't quite understand that question. I can't, there's a lot of static.
Oh, sorry, I'm just saying regarding the Everybody's Home campaign, is that a tool that we're putting to government in regarding the numbers and the urgency of social housing investment?
Yeah, so the Everybody's Home campaign does a few things. So we coordinate, and we've got more than 400 community organisations on board, and we coordinate them to go and visit their local MP and get local members of parliament to be active on this issue and calling for social housing within their own party. We have digital actions where we get members of the public to, you know, sign a petition or directly email. For example, the most recent one, email the Treasurer to call on him to invest in social housing. And we also do media like this to really raise public awareness about the issue and why social housing is important. So, look, we'd love everyone to join and make the campaign even stronger. You just go to everybodyshome.com.au and you can sign up and be part of it.
Fantastic. Look, it's a powerful tool and a voice for all our mob out there, homelessness, and for people in crowded houses as well. A very important campaign. And thank you very much for sharing, Kate.
Oh, no worries, Trevor. It's great to speak to you.
All the best. You take care.
Hey, no worries. Hey, Trevor, if you're interested, I actually, as well as what we've already talked about, I also have the figures about the remote Indigenous housing funding, which has really decreased a lot over the past few years. So I'd be happy to talk, if you're interested in that, I could talk about that.
But, well, by all means. Have you got those figures there with you, Kate?
Yeah, absolutely, in front of me.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, let's talk on that, please.
Yeah, look, so one of the real, big problems in providing housing to Aboriginal communities is the federal government made huge cuts to the funding that they put into remote Indigenous housing. So, for example, in 2017-18, $577 million went into remote Indigenous housing. And that's cut in 2022-23, just in a couple of years, right down to $110 million. So one-fifth of the funding. So we've got this huge problem in remote communities of overcrowding and homelessness. And you've got the federal government just pulling the rug out from those communities and the ability to fund housing. And at the same time, the amount of money that they put into ordinary social housing is just really remained flat.
Yeah.
So you've got growing population.
Well,
You know, the amount of money for social housing not keeping up, but then specifically the funding for remote Indigenous housing being really cut back. So overall, just makes it much harder for people who are finding it hard to afford.
Well, we as First Nation people, we understand the so-called gap, and we're virtually getting sick of that phrase, closing the gap in all aspects of life. And here we are, housing, and with that $400,000, that's a lot of money for housing.
Look, absolutely. That's the federal government. It's not closing the gap. It's like pulling the gap way wider on housing, and it's just not good enough.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kate. Very important figures. Thank you for sharing.
No worries. Thanks, Trevor. Good on you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
Adela Yarn there, Kate Colvin, her name is, spokesperson for Everybody's Home campaign. So do check it out online, Everybody's Home campaign. It's about surging homelessness, demonstrates the need for urgent social housing investment. And the figures that Kate put across the table there, 116,000 odd Australians homelessness, and that's even including First Nation people and also First Nation people who are in houses crowded by other families, you know. So a lot of work needs to be done. And plus the amount of money that was taken out of remote Aboriginal communities in regarding housing shows that the government is widening the gap. Have your say. Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Baller and Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Oh,
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Causing me suspicion, but there's no proof. In the paper today, tales of war and of ways, but you turn right over to the TV page. Nayali Jaya, come on back.
Traveling with me. Hey now,